one here, the rowdies one there. They kick the ball around. The rowdies one here, the rowdies one there. Then they fall on the ground. Oh, the rowdies, the rowdies, the rowdies are the pig in the grass.
Here's another reason why WYSL is your sports leader. Now, on WYSL 1040 and live on the web at WYSL1040.com, North America's longest-running soccer radio talk show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, former Rochester Lancers trainer Joe Redcard Sirianni, Andrew Battisti, and former Lancer and Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer Mr. Zero, Dick Howard. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Top Notch Monogramming, Northfield Commons, Pittsford, and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, Bob Johnson Chevrolet, The Soccer Shack, Dr. Frank Grayson Chiropractor, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, LS Graphics, Faber Homes, and Soccer America Magazine. Now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, our final Monday show, as next week we move to our new time of Sundays at noon here on WYSL. I'm your co-host, Andrew Battisti. And here's our host, Joe Sirianni.
Hi, Andrew, and good evening, everyone. That means that once we move to Sunday, we're going to have a pasta dinner before we can do the show. Right, Andrew? With a little bit of wine and a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
I better make my sauce.
Yeah, but tonight we're going to talk about all soccer stuff. We're going to talk about Matt Ford, of course, the Rhinos. We're going to talk about Montreal and Vancouver. We're going to talk about the United States, Costa Rica, Argentina game, okay? You know, the United States and Argentina dilemma with Maradona getting probably sanctioned by FIFA for his
outburst. We won't repeat what he said.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the MLS. So, and of course,
we have a gigantic guest on our show tonight at 7 o'clock. We want to let everybody know the guy who's the hero from Wednesday's U.S. 2-2 draw with Costa Rica, the U.S. winning the CONCACAF qualifying group. Jonathan Bornstein from Chivas USA and the U.S. national team will be live on our show tonight at 7 o'clock. And what a great goal he scored and what a great match he had on Wednesday.
In the last second of the game, can you imagine that? Can you imagine the emotion and the accomplishment we're going to ask him. I mean, he must have been in a state of shock. The game was almost over, and the shot that he took, it was great.
It was the header in the 95th minute. The U.S. was a man down in that match because of Gucci Onyewu was injured, and the U.S. had no more subs, so they did it with 10 men on the field. Just unbelievable. And so Jonathan Bornstein will be on our show tonight, 7 o'clock. Also going to have on our show tonight a special guest at 7:15. We may be from the Rhinos. It may be from the USL. We're going to let you know as soon as we confirm it. We're working hard here on WYSL and Soccer's Kicking the Grass for all of our loyal listeners who I know are going to shift to listen to us on Sundays at noon starting this coming Sunday.
Of course, and our show is going to be exciting just the way it's been throughout the season, the regular Rhino season. We're going to cover soccer in all aspects, and who knows? I mean, the guests we're going to have. We're going to have a segment that we're going to find out what happened to all the players. Where are they now? So we're going to be able to keep you abreast of all the great heroes, all the people that you learn to love, and all the people that you learn to hate too. Yep. So we're gonna have a show that is gonna dwell on the positive, and you're gonna be glad that you're gonna tune us in.
And so we definitely focus on the positive. This is the beautiful game, the game we love, and we want to talk about good things like the U.S. qualifying for the World Cup for the sixth straight time. And congratulations to Honduras. They were just as excited, and even more so, as Bornstein, I think, now is a national hero in Honduras because his goal put Honduras into the World Cup for the first time since 1982, which is really something. And, Joe, also something else that's very special. You know, we on our show, we are very passionate about the people who support our show, and Joe and I always bring on people as our sponsors who we work with directly, people we can vouch for personally. And tonight we have a brand new sponsor joining us here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, somebody I've known for many, many years. He, as a radio person, Joe, we have to take care of our teeth and our mouth and our jaw. Without that, we can't be on the air.
Yeah, exactly.
So tonight, we are proud. I'm proud to say that my dentist, Dr. David Olivo of Gates, is a new sponsor of Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Yes. That deserves some applause. Dr. Olivo is located at 2005 Lyle Avenue in Gates, just off the 390 exit. And he has been in business now for over almost 15 years. Took over practice from the late Dr. Robert Barnes, who I was going to as a dentist since I was 3 years old. So I've been going to this practice my entire life.
And you still got all your teeth. Look at that.
That's right. Not even I still have my wisdom teeth.
And nice and white besides that.
Maybe that's why I know so much. I still have my wisdom teeth. But I even go to the same dental hygienist I went to as I was a kid. They're still there at that practice. Dr. Levo welcomes new patients. He is very thorough. He's just, his staff makes every effort to put you at ease, show you how any procedure fits into your overall plan that they come up with. They have innovations there, veneering, zoom whitening, Invisalign system, and it's offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch. The number to call is 328-3382, and there'll be a website for Dr. Olivo coming very soon as well. So again, we encourage you to call Dr. Olivo if you have any dental needs. Again, 328-3382 is the phone number. And Joe, we also are going to be going overseas for our first guest tonight, but not to Canada. Our good friend Dick Howard is down in Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic. Talk about somebody who is dedicated and devoted to our show. From all over the world, he calls us.
Well, let me tell you, Dick Howard is not only a part of our show, but he has been a personal friend for you and I, and not only him, but Annie as well. She's the one that takes care of this, of Dick's traveling, and let us know where he is. So thanks to her as well.
Definitely. So coming up next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, it's Mr. Zero, Dick Howard, live from Santo Domingo with all the international news. And we'll talk about how a beach ball has made big news in the UK. This is Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on News Power 1040 WYSL and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com, radio-soccer.com, and WYSL1040.com.
Hello, I'm Tony DiCicco. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, and I'm listening here to WYSL.
Notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pele, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Topnotchmonogram.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
These days, we're pinching pennies everywhere we can. On groceries, utilities, even insurance. But get into one car accident and your rates could rise as much as 40% just because of it. Suddenly, your affordable insurance isn't. Unless you have Allstate Accident Forgiveness, then the accident won't make your rates go up at all. It's part of your choice auto, only from Allstate. Are you in good hands?
Start saving today. Call Fairport Allstate agent Vincenzo Scolo first at 244-2130. Feature is optional and subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
Everyone is looking for a company that can provide quality work in a timely fashion and at a reasonable price. LS Graphics is just that company. We would love to be your one-stop shop for all of your promotional and signage needs. LS Graphics, 1275 Mount Reed Boulevard. Call 436-6370. That's 436-6370. LS Graphics, what we do for you gets noticed.
The one place in town to get all your gear is The Soccer Shack. The Soccer Shack on Monroe Avenue. Shoes, balls, goalkeeper equipment, referee supplies, the best selection in town. All of the name brands. Fans, the widest and the best selection of jerseys in Western New York is at the Soccer Shack. National team, EPL, MLS, and more. The Soccer Shack, 2298 Monroe Avenue, 244-1460.
Is your family growing and it's time to move up to your next home? You can afford to build your next home. Why buy an existing house with someone else's problems when a new construction Faber home will be built to suit your style and your needs? Faber homes are in communities with good schools, parks, and the conveniences your family needs.
Visit a Faber model home today at either of our two communities, Berkshire Park in Henrietta or Park Place in Chi-Li. Call Faber Homes at 889-9590 or faberhomes.com.
For homes starting at $134,900, Faber Homes. Great homes, great price.
Soccer is a kick in the grass. Now, on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, it's time for our international report with one of North America's top soccer journalists, a member of both the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame and the 1970 Rochester Lancers NASL Championship Team, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard.
And Dick Howard's appearance is brought to you this and every week by our title sponsor, Top Notch Monogramming in Pittsburgh. Let's go now down to the beautiful island of the Dominican Republic and speak with Dick Howard. Dick, how are you doing?
Buenos dias, guys. How are you?
Buenos dias. buenas tardes.
Boy, you sound like you're right in the next room, Dick. What a good connection we have.
Yeah, I'm in Santo Domingo, which is the capital of the Dominican Republic, which shares the island of Hispaniola, of course, with Haiti, for those that don't know the geography. But a delightful part of the world, a popular holiday destination for, I'm sure, a lot of your listeners, and it's certainly a nice place to visit. I'm here for a seminar, and we'll be here for the next couple of days, so it's going to be good.
Hey, Dick, do you speak Spanish?
I speak a little bit of Spanish. The course will basically be in Spanish, so I have to make sure that I understand the gist of it. But it's going to be a very interesting course on youth development. We've got Nene Cobillas here, who was a great player with Peru over the years in the World Cup. And Ronaldo Rueda, who has taken Honduras to the World Cup finals, is another gentleman who will be making a contribution to the seminar. So it should be a very good 3 days for the local people to get feedback from people of that quality.
Well, Dick, I tell you, speaking of Honduras, boy, I was going to make it a surprise, but at the beginning of our introduction to Jonathan Bornstein at the top of the hour, I've got a little clip of the Honduran radio announcers announcing the U.S.-Costa Rica match and their reaction to Bornstein's goal in the 95th minute. It's priceless. I mean, they have got to be just in the clouds right now, going back to the World Cup for the first time in 28 years.
Yes, the last time in 1982, actually, I was one of the coaches of the Canadian team that lost out to Honduras and El Salvador in a final qualifying tournament that was played in Tegucigalpa, and they went through to play in Spain and did very well in the World Cup in 1982, but they've not been there for a long time, so there's tremendous excitement now, of course, that they've qualified to go yet again.
Dick, how can you describe soccer in the Dominican Republic from the rest of the world?
Well, I think one of the things, Joe, of course, in the Dominican Republic, you've got, and I saw this as we came into the airport today, many baseball pitches, because, of course, they produce so many outstanding baseball players over the years. Basketball is also very popular, as is volleyball. So soccer, football, in the local lingo, is probably ranked fourth, but they're starting to make strides, and the National Association have started to put a youth development program in place, and that's what I'll be involved with them over the next 12 months. So they certainly are starting to make their presence felt, but baseball is very much the king in this country.
There are probably a lot of them watching the Yankees and the Angels right now, I would imagine.
It's very, as you say, interesting to see the coverage in the newspapers, especially if there's Dominican players involved. And it certainly is something that's played by all the youngsters. You go by patches of ground and there's youngsters playing baseball. But I am seeing some playing soccer. Futsal is starting to make an impression. They're starting to also have a development program for women's football. So they're starting to make some strides in recent years. But, in the past, they haven't had that luxury, and now they're starting to put some time and effort into the development programs, and I'm sure it will bear fruit in the years ahead.
Well, Dick, the big news that came out today was the draw for the European playoffs for the World Cup, and certainly the match of death, I guess, is the defending runners-up France taking on the Republic of Ireland. I know that a number of the Irish players, especially Shea Given, the goalie, were very critical of FIFA for seeding the teams at this point, because they felt that they were put into the second pot, whereas they've done much better in the World Cup than, say, Greece, who has won the European Championship but have not really done much in the World Cup. So a lot of the Irish fans out there were not really happy with this draw, but I think that certainly is going to be quite a tie between those two countries.
It'll be a tremendous game. Gerard Houllier, who is the technical director now of France and was the coach of the French national team, said that it could go either way. So it's a 50-50 game because both teams have outstanding players. Certainly, Trapattoni has done an outstanding job in moulding this Republic of Ireland team together, and it certainly will give France a very competitive series, of course, home and away in November. So everybody will be looking at that, and with the other games, of course, then who knows? There could be some upsets. You expect the favourites to come through, but there's certainly also very good matchups and countries hoping to create surprises. I'm sure that will happen in the remaining three games.
Who do you think between Portugal and Bosnia?
I think Portugal, with or without Cristiano Ronaldo, could well qualify. They have got a good pedigree, and I would be surprised if they weren't in South Africa.
And now between Greece and Ukraine, I would think that the Ukraine is going to prevail.
That's an interesting one, because Ukraine certainly show that they can get the results with that win over England. Greece are very strong at home, don't usually travel too well, and I think that could well be one of the closest games of all three. But they're both strong at home, and it's how they travel that could well decide that tie.
And Russia and Slovenia, Russia, it should be a shoe-in.
No, I don't know about that. Slovenia, very tough defensively, and they've been to the World Cup themselves, so
yeah,
they know what it
takes.
They
have, but I will put my money on Russia, I think, in that kind of situation. Of course, the other news that you've probably heard today, guys, is the departure of Santana as coach of the Bafana Bafana, the South African national team. And the discussion now is who is going to take over, and the name of Carlos Alberto Pereira, who coached the Bafana Bafana, which is the national team of South Africa. Prior to, he had to go back to Brazil. I think it was a family matter that took him back to Brazil, and Santana took over, but has had a terrible time in getting results. They lost two friendly games this past week, and it looks as though Pereira could well take over again with regards to South Africa. And, of course, you always want the host country to do well, because that always creates a lot of interest wherever it may be, and they don't want to be a host country that does not produce or get out of the group stages.
And that's never happened before, has it, Dick?
I can't recall it. And the other thing, guys, that we talked about last week with the Ghana-Brazil in the under-20 tournament, and, of course, we all know now that dramatic style, of course, on penalty kicks, but Ghana beat Brazil in the under-20 FIFA World Championship, which has got a lot of people excited because, of course, and we've also discussed this in the past, the chances of a team from Africa doing well in the World Cup. And Ghana, of course, have always done well in these age group tournaments. Will this be the time when they finally produce in the World Cup?
And they did it with 10 men besides that. And I know that our friend Frank Godoy is very, very happy. That's for sure. Because Ghana really proved to the world that they know how to play football, they know how to play soccer, and they do it with almost like a Brazilian style.
Yeah, it's true, Joe, isn't it? And certainly Frank Odoi, you know, he was playing, you know, with the great teams from Ghana in the 60s when they were really a tremendous squad and very successful team. I think it's great for the game when this happens, because we always expect Brazil to be on the trophy because they have won every single tournament that Brazil have got on the world stage, with the age group tournaments, with its World Cups, of course, they dominated in most of them, and it was a great result for African football, with Ghana getting the edge, especially since the tournament was played in Egypt.
That's a promising situation, because just like you said, there might be the movement. Look how many African players are in Europe playing, that's an indication how good the soccer is being played in Africa and all the countries there.
It could well be just a matter of time, Joe. I think with a World Cup tournament, of course, when you've got to play probably 7 games to get through the final, you've got to have a little bit of luck as well as the consistency. The fact that it's being played in Africa for the first time is an added incentive, and it could well be. And I know Pelé, the great Pelé, has mentioned that he sees an African team winning the World Cup in the next, certainly in the next decade, and who knows, it might be next year in South Africa. It will be challenging, but this result has certainly got people excited who follow African football.
And Dick, if memory serves me, I don't believe the African nation has ever even made the Final Four of the World Cup. It's the only continent outside of Australia, obviously, that have not gone to that level yet. The U.S. made it in the first World Cup, and of course South Korea at home was a semifinalist in 2002. So again, the question is, it could be a Ghana. I still put my money, if it's going to be any country, it's going to be the Ivory Coast, because when you have a player like Didier Drogba who can control a match like he can and put the ball in the back of the net, they're very dangerous. But one of the things I want to ask you before we move on, I do want to get to this thing about that happened in England on Saturday, but the U.S. players, I know, and the fans have been talking about the seeding for the World Cup, how since the U.S. won the qualifying group, that if any country from CONCACAF is going to be seeded, it should be the U.S. and not Mexico. So I would think the U.S. fans are rooting for the Irish and Bosnia to knock out France and Portugal, who could be seeded teams in the World Cup. Certainly, France, I think, would be a seeded team if they got in, because it depends on the results from previous World Cups. Is that right?
Yeah, there's a formula that is followed, but certainly that's what the U.S. would hope for. But it certainly is something that, with regards to the FIFA standings and performance, it all is taken into account with regards to that. But it's going to be very exciting. The World Cup draw is something that people are always tuning into, even though it's just a matter of picking balls out of a container, and realizing who's going to be playing against who. But certainly the seedings can be a major factor in how far teams progress in the tournament.
Well, I can tell you one thing. I've never been a fan of French coach Dominic, and I'm going to pull for Trapattoni in Northern Ireland. So it's a given, huh?
Well, after what happened with Italy and France 4 years ago, I think I would like to see the Irish get through myself. But Dick, let's switch gears, because I do want to talk about this amazing, incredible, bizarre occurrence that happened in England on Saturday. For those of you who may have not heard, Liverpool was playing at Sunderland on Saturday, two teams that are fighting for a top spot in England right now. In the fifth minute, Darren Bent scored a goal that ricocheted off of a beach ball that was thrown onto the pitch by a Liverpool fan, and the goal was allowed to stand. It's one of the strangest things I've ever seen, because literally the ball ricocheted off the ball, off the beach ball, and Pepe Reina was wrong-footed. The ball went into the net. The beach ball went wide, but the goal was allowed to stand, and a lot of the referees in England are ripping the fact that this goal was allowed to stand. And even the referee, who was named Mike Jones, he was demoted this week down to the championship match between Peterborough and Scunthorpe. So he's not even going to be refereeing in the Premiership. So what do you think about this, Dick? This is something I've never seen happen before.
It's a question that is always on the examination papers when you're taking your referee's exams. If the ball should hit a dog that wanders onto the field, or an object, or somebody comes onto the field and you know, interferes with play. The bottom line is that it was a very poor decision by the referee. Now, whether he thought that Johnson had deflected at the player, you know, I have my doubts, but he did have an assistant referee, he did have a fourth official to help him. But it certainly should not have been allowed. It should have been called, it should have been a drop ball. And it's no wonder that the refereeing community are up in arms, because it really was a very poor decision if, in fact, the referee saw the match ball hit the beach ball and the ball ending up in the back of the net. It should certainly have not been allowed. But not, having taken nothing away from that, I really admire Liverpool Football Club, because, you know, the coaching staff were obviously upset with the situation, but they also said, look, we had a poor game, we had our chances to score, we didn't play it very well. We did miss Gerrard and the boy, you know, up front, who scores a few goals by the name of Torres. So they didn't sort of heap all the blame and say we lost the game because of that. They didn't play well, but certainly they would have come out with a scoreless tie if the goal had been disallowed, as it should have been.
I like their approach when players admit that even though a goal was given, you know, they didn't play well enough to win. So
it's an easy cop out, Joe, isn't it? We've all done this where we blame the match officials, we blame everybody but ourselves or the players.
Exactly.
And it's something that is a good lesson, but it was a very bizarre incident, and the poor referee at the game this week, I'm sure there will be a beach ball or two thrown onto the pitch to see how he reacts in this situation, knowing the humour that pervades English football at times.
Yeah. Well, Dick, you know, one of the things that happened in the USL, the Montreal, again, you know, in good style won the thing, although the, you know, there were ejection and referees and all that kind of thing that you know, put some flavor onto the win. What do you say about the game and you know, the matchup between the two Canadian teams?
Well, I didn't have a chance to see the game. I was traveling back from Vancouver, ironically, so I didn't have a chance to see the game. But from all accounts, it was a good performance by Montreal Impact. And in a game of that nature, as we all know, it's vital to get that first goal. And Montreal got that first goal, and it then makes it all that more difficult for the Whitecaps to bounce back. If the Whitecaps had scored the first, you know, the first goal in the game, it could well have opened it up. But that was not to be. Great atmosphere, apparently, as always, at Saputo Stadium.
Soldat Stadium.
I was delighted for Joey Saputo and the whole organization, because they really came on. They started the season very
terrible.
Sporadic performances, but certainly in the playoffs with six straight wins, you can't take that away from them.
They were the best team in October. That's all that counts, Dick. But, Dick, we got to run because we got Jonathan Bornstein coming up. So, I don't know. I know you're going to Switzerland coming up.
Yeah, I think I'm in the air. I think I'm en route from Miami to Zurich when you have the show on Sunday, so we'll probably have to give it a miss. But I'll give you an up-to-date account of the meetings in Zurich the Sunday after.
Very good, Dick.
Sounds great, Dick. Well, you have a safe trip. Enjoy yourself in the Dominican Republic and over in Switzerland, and we will talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Great, guys. Bye for now.
Ciao. Bye-bye, Dick. Dick Howard, live from the Dominican Republic here on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass. Again, coming up next Sunday, next week, the show moves to Sundays at noon here on WYSL and on the web at socceristhekickinthegrass.com. So be sure to write on your calendar, Soccer is the Kick in the Grass, Sunday at noon on WYSL. Coming up next, it's U.S. International Jonathan Bornstein here on our weekly soccer show, Soccer is the Kick in the Grass, on News Power 1040 WYSL and live on the web, socceristhekickinthegrass.com, radio-soccer.com, and WYSL1040.com.
Hi, this is Greg Sutton, and you're listening to Soccer's Kick in the Grass.
Twenty 20,000 watts of news power every day. You're listening to WYSL1040.com. WYSL and WYSL 1040 Avon Rochester.
top-notch monogramming is...
Soccer, Lancers, U.S. National Team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is...
Reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is...
Embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is...
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA Wear.
TopNotchMonogram.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
The one place in town to get all your gear is the Soccer Shack. The Soccer Shack on Monroe Avenue. Shoes, balls, goalkeeper equipment, referee supplies, the best selection in town. All of the name brands. Fans, the widest and the best selection of jerseys in Western New York is at the Soccer Shack. National Team, EPL, MLS, and more. The Soccer Shack, 2298 Monroe Avenue, 244-1460.
Hello, I'm Dr. Frank Grayson of Grayson Chiropractic in Brighton with a message to fans and athletes. At Grayson, our focus is to evaluate, recommend, and treat pain and discomfort caused by strenuous training and competition. Emergencies are seen right away at Grayson, and we accept most insurance plans. When you're in pain and need care, call me, Dr. Frank Grayson, chiropractor, at 271-6080. We work hard to make you feel better.
Hey, soccer fans, stay connected to the beautiful game with Soccer America. Soccer America provides in-depth news and expert analysis of all levels of the sport through daily email newsletters, a full-color monthly magazine, and an extensive website at SoccerAmerica.com. To sign up for a free, no-obligation, three-month trial offer, click the banner on the news page at SoccerIsAKickInTheGrass.com or call 1-800-335-GOAL. Soccer America. It's all about the game you love.
Soccer is a kick in the grass.
It's the last chance for Wolves in the United States. Harry Kane is rocking as the corner comes in.
Todavía terminado el partido. Gol, 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 gol.
Welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battisti and Joe Redcard Sirianni. And certainly the U.S. and the Honduran fans were celebrating on Wednesday night as both countries will be going to World Cup 2010 in South Africa. And Joe, I never heard an announcer that excited. Maybe except when Wayne Fuller called the Lancers Toronto game in 1977.
Exactly.
Or 877, what am I saying?
Yeah, exactly. I think that... You know, the euphoria in soccer is unmatched in any other sports because there is a thrill of emotion. There's a kind of relief when a goal is scored. And I can imagine, you know, if we would have been there to watch the game that Jonathan scored the winning goal, I watch it on television, and I start jumping up and down, you know, in the room. I just couldn't believe it. And we're going to ask Jonathan how he really felt.
Well, let's bring the man himself on right now. We're very happy to have with us the man who scored that match-tying goal for the United States on Wednesday night, giving the U.S. the win in the CONCACAF qualifying group and putting Honduras into the World Cup. Joined now by Chivas USA defender Jonathan Bornstein, and Jonathan's appearance tonight is brought to you by Soccer America Magazine. Jonathan, good evening, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, no, thank you guys for having me on the show.
How did you like the intro?
It was very good. I like that. That's big time.
John, I got to ask you, what does it feel like to be a national hero in Honduras?
Oh, man. It feels better to be going to the World Cup with the U.S., but to be honest, you know, it's quite an honor to be, you know, have all those fans in Honduras saying those sorts of things. You know, it's pretty funny how much just one goal can change a country's, like, mentality.
Jonathan, describe to us the feeling that you had when you saw the ball go in. What went through your mind?
It was, you know, after I hit the ball in the net, you know, it was like pure ecstasy. I just looked around and I didn't even know what to celebrate with. I was honestly, you know, I just wanted to have the whole team involved, and that's why I went to the corner flag and I saw the team running down the sidelines. Even guys who weren't on the field, and it's pretty cool to share that moment with all of them.
Talk about a week of just ups and downs and tremendous emotion for the U.S. national team. First, back on the 10th, you guys go down to Honduras and get a result where no team had beaten Honduras in that stadium since 2001, and you guys just came through in the second half and then held on, and thanks to some luck from Carlos Pavón, you guys prevailed and were able to not need a result in that final match on Wednesday to qualify. But that match in Honduras, what was it like to get a win in such a difficult place to play?
I think it was great for our morale as a team. And, you know, you said it right. That stadium, those fans definitely bring, you know, like the 12th man to the field. It's pretty tough to play out there. You know, Honduras is a great team there. They usually, you know, they definitely use that home field advantage to their, you know, to be successful there. And, you know, I thought that was a real high to qualify for the World Cup with that result. You know, celebrating for that game was quite a good experience also.
It certainly was. And then, of course, the tragic accident with
Charlie Davies.
I mean, going from a high like that to have one of your teammates, it just a random act there. I mean, it happens to everybody. You just don't think about traffic accidents, but again, they can happen to anybody. I know that Charlie is now out of intensive care. That was reported by U.S. Soccer today. So that looks good. We're all very happy about that. What was the mentality of the team on Wednesday going into that match, Jonathan, with knowing that, you know, you've got one of your teammates in a serious medical situation going in to play that match?
You know, like you said, it was a real, you know, unfortunate situation, and you know, car accidents do happen. But I think the team, you know, rallied together because of that. I think we really wanted to, you know, go out there and have a great performance for Charlie, and we used it as motivation to, you know, do our best. And I think, you know, after the game, I know I dedicated my goal to Charlie and, you know, to him getting better and getting back on the field, you know, as quickly and as safely as possible. But, you know, like you said, those kind of things do happen in life. And even though it's so unfortunate, you know, my heart goes out to him and his family, like, all the time. And I hope he gets better very quickly.
Well, Jonathan, on the other side of that, you guys had played with 10 men because Ogucho Onyanu, he also got the crucial ligament, I believe it was. And he's got to be operated. And here he had just gone to the Italian club, AC Milan, and a lot of future for him. What was the feeling of after the game about his condition?
His injury, I think he tore his patellar tendon. You know, he's going to be out a couple months. Like you said, he's got a very bright future ahead of him, playing for AC Milan, who's one of the biggest clubs in the world. You know, after the when he got what subbed out, I think it was, you know, the 70-something minute. You know, it was tough to play with 10 men against a full squad of Costa Rica, especially when we needed a goal, and he's a big body in there, especially for corner kicks and all those sorts of things. So, you know, after we tied the game, we went in the locker room and saw his injury, and, you know, it was pretty sad to see that, that, you know, we lost two of our teammates so quickly, you know, again, you know, within the time frame of each other. But, you know, soccer does deal that to people sometimes. You know, injuries do happen when you're, you know, you're putting your body on the line like that. But, you know, same for him. I hope he gets better and recovers quick and is back on the field, you know, training with the U.S. team and AC Milan very quick, you know, very soon.
Very nice. Changing a little bit, momentum, let's talk about you. I mean, you're playing in California. You're playing probably in close to your hometown. You're playing with Chiva. You're one of the top teams that in the league, in the MLS league. And tell us a little bit about your career and where you are right now. You're at you know, a moment, oh, you're
I
a hero.
You know, not you only nationally, but myself. I could barely hear you when you asked that.
No, I. What I'm saying is that for you to tell us a little bit about you playing in California. being born in California and playing in front of your crowd, you know, the home crowds?
Honestly, it has been a dream come true to be able to play, you know, in my hometown. And I get the privilege of being able to play in front of my family, and my friends, my former teammates that I played with growing up. You know, it just allows me to feel very comfortable out on the field. And I honestly wouldn't have imagined starting my career anywhere else, because it allowed me to almost learn on the job and still, yet at the same time, always have, you know, a group of people here supporting me so I can always go to if anything's going wrong. Or so, you know, I'd definitely say it's been beneficial for my career. And, you know, I actually bought a house in my hometown where I went to high school. So I'm still living in my hometown. You know, I don't think anyone can complain about doing that.
That's tremendous, Jonathan. I know that Chivas, I tell you, what a crazy MLS season. All these teams still vying for playoff spots on the last week of the season. And right now, three teams, LA, Houston, and Chivas, tied at the top of the Western Conference. But you guys have the big advantage because you have a match in hand, which is this Thursday, live on national television on ESPN2 at Chicago, a team that, surprisingly enough, does not play that well at home. They haven't done that well. They're only 4-4-6 at home this year. So I know with a couple of wins, you guys still have an outside shot at getting the supporters' shield if Columbus manages to falter on Saturday against New England. So actually on Sunday against New England. So I know that these two matches coming up on the week, you playing against Chicago and then home to Houston on Sunday, are big ones for Chivas.
Oh, they're huge games for us. Not only do they have implications for getting first place in the West, but like you said, there is an outside chance we could still get the supporters' shield, which would be a great accomplishment, you know, just in terms of what we set out to do at the beginning of the season. You know, obviously the Chicago game is what we're focused on at the moment, but, you know, we're going to be watching, you know, the results of everyone around the league, because it is so tight, and I think there's still seven teams that can make the playoffs, and there's only three spots left. So, you know, it's kind of crazy how this year's worked. Everyone's so close. But it's, you know, it's been made for a good finish. And hopefully Chivas and, you know, myself and the rest of my teammates, we can come out on top of this this regular season and then use that as motivation into the playoffs.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. Who knows who you guys might play? If you finish first, you might be playing in eighth place, maybe even a Toronto FC. We might see you guys up in Toronto. Maybe I might take a trip up there to watch you guys play if that happens. Who knows?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy that we don't – I mean, no one knows who they're going to be playing, because you don't know how the bracket's going to play out and who's going to be in what spot. And so it's pretty exciting stuff, you know, for the MLS fans and also for us, us as players. Still excited to see who's going to go through and who you could potentially be playing against.
Well, Jonathan, I know that we really appreciate you coming on the show with us tonight. I know you've had a lot of interview requests over the last few days, given what's happened with the national team. And I know that, you know, you're looking ahead now to MLS and the playoffs, and then probably back to more national team duties as we guys prepare for the World Cup. We're going to certainly be watching you and the national team and Chivas for the foreseeable future. Hopefully, maybe somewhere down the road, we're moving our show to Sundays starting next week, so maybe we can get you back on. Maybe after the MLS season, we could talk a bit more. We'd really love to have you on again.
All right, thank you, guys. No, it was a pleasure to be on, and, you know, I hope the show continues to do well. And, you know, I hope Chivas can come out on top in the end and still with USA.
Thank you. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thanks, Jonathan. Have a good one.
All right, thank you, guys.
Jonathan Bornstein from Chivas USA and the U.S. national team live here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. And Joe, just 24 years old, and he's got a great future ahead of him. Hopefully this is a guy that we can keep in MLS and playing in this league for many years to come.
Well, you know, the MLS is growing and growing, and I think that there is a lot more room for American players to excel in this league.
Well, we will certainly be watching that. And again, the MLS playoffs start just a couple weeks. Again, we may see Chivas play in Toronto. Who knows? We'll see what happens. Coming up next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, we will be joined by a very special guest. So stay tuned for that here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, right here on WYSL News Power 1040.
This is Dave Sarek, and I listen to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL with Joe, my good friend.
top-notch monogramming is...
Soccer, Lancers, U.S. National Team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is...
Reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is...
Embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is...
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA Wear.
TopNotchMonogram.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Hello, I'm Dr. Frank Grayson of Grayson Chiropractic in Brighton with a message to fans and athletes. At Grayson, our focus is to evaluate, recommend, and treat pain and discomfort caused by strenuous training and competition. Emergencies are seen right away at Grayson, and we accept most insurance plans. When you're in pain and need care, call me, Dr. Frank Grayson, chiropractor, at 271-6080. We work hard to make you feel better.
Everyone is looking for a company that can provide quality work in a timely fashion and at a reasonable price. LS Graphics is just that company. We would love to be your one-stop shop for all of your promotional and signage needs. LS Graphics, 1275 Mount Reed Boulevard. Call 436-6370. That's 436-6370. LS Graphics, what we do for you gets noticed.
You'll get more.
Soccer is a kick in the grass.
Welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Batista here with Joe Redcard Sirianni. And again, starting next week, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass moves to Sundays at noon for the winter season here on WYSL and at soccerisakickinthegrass.com. And Joe, looking forward to it.
Well, Sunday's going to be one of my favorite days. I usually go to church, and then I watch soccer on television. But now we're going to come over here, and then we're going to do our radio show from here.
That's right.
On Sunday, 12 noon.
That's right. We'll also be keeping everybody up to date on all the live scores that are going on, because there'll be matches being played while we're on the air. So we'll keep you updated. Any goals scored, we'll let you know about it right away. But we're very happy to have joining us right now at the last minute, and we really appreciate him coming on at such short notice. The owner of the Rochester Rhinos, Rob Clark, joins us right now. We're going to get all the latest on the coach and general manager search. And Rob's appearance tonight is sponsored by our newest sponsor, dental doctor David Olivo in Gates. And Rob, thank you for being with us tonight.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. And Rob, obviously news came out over the weekend regarding Matt Ford. So please tell us, in your own words, exactly what happened so we get it right from the source so there's no questions or any rumors or whatever. Tell us exactly what happened.
Well, to be honest with you, I can't really comment on Matt Ford's situation other than, you know, Matt's no longer with the club and he's moving on to other opportunities, and we wish him well.
Well, then that's why we like you, Rob. You're honest and straightforward, and you know you say what you need to say, and you don't say what you can't say. So
that's right.
That's right.
Well, some of the questions, Rob, that's been on the internet, and apparently you answer some of those questions pertaining to the budget and pertaining to Tilly and pertaining, you know, I believe that I believe what you said, because you have the figures, and no one else really knows more than you. But going beyond that and planning for the future, have you made any decision yet? Are you interviewing people for the coach job or general manager job? Where are we right now as far as looking for 2010 season?
I think we're looking good right now. We actually have had a couple of real solid leads, a couple of candidates I was extremely far along with, and unfortunately things didn't work out. But I'm very close with another coach or GM, and I hope to possibly, if everything comes together in the next 48 hours, we may have a press conference early next week.
Ooh, That's great.
That's great.
That's new news for you right there.
There you go. Breaking right here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. There's a possibility we may have the answer to the question who will be the coach and or GM of the Rochester Rhinos early next week. And, of course, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. We'll be right there to cover it, and we'll have a special podcast with the live press conference right on there, as we usually do with all Rhinos press conferences. So, Rob, I know this has to be – you know, it's true. This is a difficult thing for you. Not difficult, but it's a time consuming. But as an owner, you know, it's something you have to do sometimes and replace senior level people in your organization. So how has this been? How has this affected you? This transition here between this past season and going forward into 2010.
Well, it's obviously extremely challenging and extremely stressful, but. You know, I do enjoy that component of the job to an extent. I've had flooded with applications for the coaching candidacy, which was mildly surprising to me. It's a very sought after job in North America. It was funny. I was actually talking to Chris Economides about it, and he mentioned before I even got one phone call, he's like, "You're going to get flooded with people that want this job." So that's, you know, that's been very promising. It's very exciting for me because I'm going to be able to build, a team in place that shares the same visions that I do and hopefully grow this franchise and build it back into a huge success story.
Can you tell us how many applications you got approximately for the coaching job?
I would say in the neighborhood of 100 so far.
Wow.
And that's just off the top of my head. Probably have had 11 solid interviews so far, whether that's in person or by phone. And again, you know, two or three candidates I was extremely far along with, and you know, unfortunately, it just it didn't work out for one reason or another. But you know, I'm very far along with these other individuals or individual, and I hope to have good news in the early part of next week.
Hey, Rob, in the course of the year, there's been a lot of things that you had to correct and a lot of things that went wrong and a lot of things that went right too. Could you tell us what you saw that was the most thing that you expected to be better, but it wasn't? I know that attendance. Maybe it was one of them. I know that. What was the thing that you got most disappointed about?
Well, there were a lot of things. Obviously, Darren's comments to the Jeff on the Q&A were very disappointing to me. I felt I was pretty loyal to Darren for over the last 2 years. Something that really bothered me was his actual lack of knowledge of what our player payroll was and how much we spent. I found that just, you know, incredibly, it basically kind of summed up some of the other, you know, you can probably make assumptions as to other challenges that I was faced with over the last 2 years. You know, those types of situations did come up quite a bit. And I guess to an extent you expect them based on having a rookie coach in place. You know, but hopefully we'll correct them going forward. We're going to have a very large emphasis on getting our players out in the community, getting in touch with, you know, recaptivating our fan base. And, you know, it's an exciting time.
You remember the conversations that you and Sam had one time in the beginning of the season pretending to doing just what you said you got to do, that you got to recapture the people that supported soccer throughout the years in Rochester. I don't know whether you remember or not, but I'm glad that that's one of the things that you got as a priority to recapture the trust in the fan base that Rhinos had before.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's a huge characteristic for the next coach, and something that I'm very forthright with every candidate. I that's been extremely deficient the last 2 years, and you know, the proof is in the pudding, and probably 5 years ago, the Rhinos were doing an upwards of 150 appearances out in the community. I think this past year, maybe we did 20, maybe 30. That's obviously deficient. It's certainly not our players' fault. That's something that needs to feed from the top down. And unfortunately, things didn't go so well in that department, but we're definitely going to correct them going forward.
Rob, the other thing that everyone is concerned about is the status of the league and what's going to happen with the teams that look like, at this point, they're not coming back into the USL, two of the most important ones being the two finalists, Montreal and Vancouver. Can you give us any update on what's going on league-wise? I know we're supposed to have Tim Holt on tonight. Hopefully we'll get him on our next show on this coming Sunday at noon. But can you give us any idea of if there's anything in the works or any owners' meetings or what's going on there?
Well, right now, largely everything's been in a holding pattern based on the championship and getting through the season. I wouldn't necessarily say anybody is not coming back with the league or anything right now. We have owners' meetings tentatively scheduled for next week, midweek. Everybody's flying to Portland for an owner summit. So hopefully, we can make some progress there and come back stronger than ever for next year.
Well, Rob, I know we're going to be looking forward to that. And, well, I'm sure we're going to talk more in the off season. We'd like to have you on a semi-regular basis to keep us updated on what's going on with the Rhinos, because all the fans here certainly want to know what's going on, especially with the new coach or GM, or maybe is one in the same coming on board very soon.
Players, of course.
And, of course, the players as well. So, Rob, thank you again for coming on short notice, and have a good holiday. I know you have a big event coming up this weekend, so have fun with that, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Rob Clark, the owner of the Rochester Rhinos here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. And do I tell you, one of the things I like about Rob, he's always accessible. You call him up, and he's more than willing to come on and talk. And
he's a gentleman.
He certainly is. So, yeah. Okay, we're looking to have Rob on regularly here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass as we move to our new time slot starting this coming Sunday at 12 noon here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass Sundays at noon. So again, for all you NFL fans, you're not going to miss any of the NFL game. Forget the pregame show. Nobody ever watches that anyway. So listen to our show instead. If you're watching soccer on television, turn the sound down and turn us up and listen to some great soccer news and interviews and commentary here on Live on the Radio.
And don't forget to go buy your season tickets for next year, 454 Kick. And, the only way that the Rhino is going to be in existence, if we're going to support him and buy the tickets and go to the turnstile. So buy your tickets.
Rhinosoccer.com is the Rhino's website. Check that out for all the latest information. And again, we want to thank Jonathan Bornstein and also David Lindholm from Chivas USA for helping us out with tonight's show, and Rob Clark as well.
Well, anyway, Andrew, we have come to the end of our regular season. We're moving next Sunday to our new spot, and we want to thank all our sponsors for making this show possible and to keep our show throughout the winter months.
Thank you to Joe and Bob D'Angelo, our engineer. Sunday at noon, this coming Sunday at noon, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL and live on the web, soccerisakickinthegrass.com, radio-soccer.com, and WYSL1040.com. Good night, everyone. See you on Sunday.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Top Notch Monogramming Northfield Commons Pittsford and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, Bob Johnson Chevrolet, the Soccer Shack, Dr. Frank Grayson Chiropractor, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, LS Graphics, Faber Homes, and Soccer America Magazine. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.